We started this class on Sunday mornings at the beginning of the challenges that we've all been having in the world with the pandemic. And over this time, one of the things that we've talked about, and of course, there's other challenges too, right? That we're facing and different feelings that we have and emotions that arise in response to the difficulties and the challenges that we experience. One of the things that we've talked a lot about is bringing our awareness. Our tendency is to turn away from emotions when they're painful and difficult. And one of the things that we've talked a lot about is bringing our awareness to our emotions, but doing that in a skillful way. Generally speaking, it's difficult if emotions are strong. A lot of people in the U.S. in particular are dealing with a lot of strong emotions right now with the election coming up. It's difficult to try to do an in-depth examination like we sometimes do in meditation in terms of looking at the different emotions and taking them apart and deconstructing them and doing a more refined investigation in terms of the noble truths and the aggregates. But we certainly always want to bring awareness to emotions in a skillful way. So in my ingenuity, I came up with the acronym ABC, Awareness, Breath, Compassion. It's a very simple acronym to denote a very simple practice that really that we do at different times during the course of a day if an emotion is arising for us and we're starting to get caught in it. One of the reasons why I kind of prefer this acronym, I kind of prefer it because I made it up, but I kind of prefer it is it denotes the simplicity that we're trying to bring to our mindfulness. I always say 2 or 3 seconds, 2 or 3 seconds. You're feeling anxiety around the election or the virus or what's ever going on wherever you are in the world. Bring awareness to that. Feel it in the body for a few seconds and just be aware. Okay, there's anxiety. I'm aware of it as this felt sense in the body. Okay, there it is. Breath. I mean, that was sort of in real time. 2, 3 seconds, go to the breath, and then look into the heart. And if we've created some space, then we'll be able to connect to some compassion in the heart. So our practice in many ways in doing this, but in many ways in all of our practice in working with the mind and other experiences of body, and the different senses is to create space, right? What we want to do is make space. We want to make space. When we are able to make enough space, then there's wisdom, which will occur. What teachers in the Ajahn Chah tradition, like Ajahn Sumedho, sometimes call intuitive wisdom or intuitive awareness when there's enough space. But putting that aside, our objective is to create some space. So when we're in an emotion, I'm anxious, we're in it, we're caught in it, the snazzy word in Buddhism is clinging. When we bring awareness to it, I'm aware of the emotion, I'm aware of the anxiety, and there's a little bit of space there, right? So there's a little bit of space, and in that moment or so, when there's a little bit of space, there's a suspension of clinging, so you begin already to start to get some of that wisdom. All right, this is what it's felt like when I'm just able to bring my awareness to an experience, and this is what it's like when I'm not clinging. And then the breath is such an important part because it helps us sustain the space to some extent. It helps us sustain the space to some extent. So, and then of course, when there's a little bit of space, we can connect to the heart. So it's so important to bring awareness to what's arising for us in the service of making space, creating space. Because what's the opposite of that? When there's no space and when we're caught in the different emotions, the heart is blocked. And that's a good definition for clinging. The heart is blocked off. So our problems occur when the heart is blocked off. You know, when the heart is blocked off, then we really don't have much ability to meet our experience of life with love, with compassion, with wisdom, and with joy. So our objective is to kind of create some space so that we're able to connect to the heart. We create some space so we can get to the heart. We create some space so we can get to the heart so that we can meet life with the heart. So that's the beauty of this practice of just bringing awareness, is we make some space and there's some ease and we can connect to the heart. And if we can meet life with the heart, we'll be okay. Regardless of what the circumstances of life are and regardless of how difficult they are, we'll be okay if we can meet life from the heart. But first we have to create this little bit of space. If we can create a little bit of space, then we can connect to the heart. But if there's no space, the heart is blocked off. So we make a little space by being aware. We're able to meet life with the heart, with compassion, recognizing our suffering, recognizing the suffering of others, being able to respond with compassion. We're able to meet life with loving kindness, remembering our wish to be happy, taking action in support of our wish to be happy, taking action with regard to others in support of them and their wish to be happy. And when we're able to have some space, we're able to take a little, so again, one way to think about it is we're taking a little bit of a step back from our suffering and our clinging. When there's this space, when we're able to take a step back from the suffering, from the clinging to the emotion, when we're able to take a little bit of a step back from the emotion, we're able to recognize the brightness of the world. We're able to recognize the brightness of the world. I always like that. That particular phrase, the brightness of the world, it really comes from Ajahn Fuwang, whose teacher was Ajahn Lee. So many of you know Ta-Nehisi Coates, his teacher was Ajahn Fuwang. Ajahn Fuwang's teacher was Ajahn Lee. Ajahn Lee was the great master of concentration in Thailand during the 20th century. I mean, you know, like in Thailand, Ajahn Lee is like, you know, I was going to say Madonna, but, you know, but I need to kind of like be, Ajahn Lee is like Lady Gaga, you know, like a Taylor Swift and Lady Gaga combined in Thailand, you know. What Ajahn Fuwang said about Ajahn Lee, this, the beautiful sentiment, the beautiful way that he described his relationship with Ajahn Lee, he said, you know, it's interesting too when you consider that Ajahn Lee was considered such a great master of concentration. Ajahn Fuwang said of Ajahn Lee, he said, he showed me the brightness of the world. He showed me the brightness of the world. You know, and I think, you know, as Dharma teachers, that's, you know, that's kind of our objective, is to show you how to see the brightness of the world. So these practices that we do in terms of bringing awareness to the emotions help us get some space to find some peace and to be able to know the brightness of the world. When we practice brightening the mind, which is something that I've taught for years and I suggest that you do every day before you meditate, you know, and I always say, you know, if you practice with it every day, before, I talked about this several weeks ago in terms of recognizing the blessing of our goodness and brightening the mind. If you practice brightening the mind every day in your meditation, at least you've done it once every day. Really, we want to try to be doing it more than once every day as we go through the course of our day. When we talk about brightening the mind, you know, there's those three components of brightening the mind: recognizing our blessings, cultivating gratitude, and that leads to the brightness in the heart, or the quality of appreciation or appreciative joy in the heart. So when we recognize our blessings, we recognize the blessing of our goodness and the goodness in the world. So the four categories of blessings begins with our own goodness, our good qualities. The goodness of others is the second category. The goodness of the Dhamma is the third category. And the fourth category is the preciousness of life, the goodness of the world. You know, this is such an important element of the practice of the Dharma and such an important practice for all of us. And what I would submit to you, you know, and I don't take lightly what I teach each week, and I consider where we all are and what we're going through, you know, what I would submit to you is, particularly now, this is such an important, you know, as we're going through difficulty, that it's important to remember the goodness in the world. It's important to remember the brightness of the world, and to to see it and to acknowledge it and to take joy. So we reflect on the preciousness of life, in the service of cultivating brightness, joy. We take time to do this reflection. It's so important for us because we forget, you know, we forget. And it's so important for us to remember, you know. And one of the first teachings that I think a lot of us heard, particularly some of us who studied in insight meditation, you know, 25, 35 years ago, some of us have, was the teaching which was often given to illustrate how the Buddha's perception of the brightness of the world and the goodness of life was the story of the blind sea turtle. You know, the Buddha said, you know, think about this when he was talking to the monks. There's a blind sea turtle at the bottom of the ocean, you know, and at the top of the ocean there's a yoke, you know, like a life preserver, you know, a little thing with a little hole in the middle. And, you know, the ocean is very turbulent and it's going this way and that way, you know, and once every 100 years the sea turtle comes to the surface. What do you think the chances are of the sea turtle poking its head right through the hole of that yoke, you know, once every 100 years to just happen to come up and poke its head right through that hole? You know, and the monks, of course, say, it would be a long shot, to say the least, you know. And the Buddha said, you know, that's how precious this life is, you know. You know, the chances of you taking this human birth and being in this human body and having this blessed opportunity to be here for this little bit of time that we have is so precious. And it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. So we reflect, we remember the preciousness of this life. This life is so precious. This life is so precious. You know, it's kind of one of those things that's hard to teach because, you know, your understanding of that is in the heart, you know, and your understanding of that in the heart transcends by so much the words, the limited, the feeble words that I can offer, you know, in terms of being able to describe that. But, you know, so it's up to you to remember, you know, the preciousness of this life. To reflect on it, we reflect because life is so precious, and is so blessed, and is so extraordinary, and is so beautiful, and we want to be present for it. We want to be present for it. So we want to be present, and we want to be in the heart, and we want to see the preciousness of life. We want to recognize the preciousness of life. You know, and it's all around us, you know, and when we recognize it, we know that truth in the heart, that this life is so rare, and that we're so fortunate to be here, and it's so brief, you know. Yesterday I went out for a walk, and, you know, there were kids, you know, with their Halloween costumes on, and, you know, I just had this memory of when I was, I think I was 8 years old, based on the neighborhood that I was living in at the time, and, you know, walking through my neighborhood with my Halloween costume on, you know, and trick-or-treating with a couple of my friends. And I just had this very vivid memory of it, you know, and, you know, 58 years ago, 59 years ago, maybe, you know, it went by like that. You know, this life just goes by so fast. You know, it's like yesterday I was trick-or-treating and trying to fill my bag with candy, you know. Here I am now, you know. I'll be 66 years old in a few weeks, you know. And, you know, over the past week, you know, seeing all the lines or people voting and stuff, and I had this memory of going with my parents when they went to vote in the presidential election in 1960, you know. And I remember, like, my mother was like, I voted for Kennedy, you know. And she was so proud to do that, you know, and it was like 60 years ago, it seemed like it was yesterday. It was the firehouse on the corner of East Shore Drive and Merrick Road in Massapequa on Long Island, you know. I can visualize standing right there, you know, as my parents went into the booth and pulled the curtain, you know. It seemed like it was yesterday. You know. So, you know, our practice, the practice of the Dharma, the practice of meditation, of what we just did for the last half hour, the practice of being aware of the different emotions in the way that I described in terms of bringing awareness and creating space, our practice puts us in position to see the goodness in life. And we have to be in position. You know, most people can't see the goodness in life because they don't have enough space and they're not present. You know, we make this incredible effort to be present. You know, this noble effort to be present by focusing on the breath and keeping the attention in the body, and to create some space from the different emotions and mental qualities and other experiences that we're holding on to, so that we can be connected to the heart and understand and see the goodness in life. You know, I mean, this is something that we see. You know, I mean, we use this word seeing, it kind of transcends what we're seeing with the eyes. You know, it's understanding. But when we are able to put ourselves in position, we can understand the goodness in life. We can recognize in the heart the blessing that this life is. We can recognize the extraordinariness of this life, you know, the extraordinariness of what it is just to be alive, you know, and this incredible gift that we have, and this state of grace that we live in from moment to moment. We just don't realize it. You know, and again, it's been hard for us. You know, it's been hard for all of us, some of us more than others. There's lots of suffering in the world, and there's suffering within us, right? There's suffering within all of us. You know, our practice asks that we develop these skills so that we can take a step back and take a wider view. I always love what Thoreau said, you know, the universe is wider than our view of it. You know, when we're suffering and when we're clinging, another way to define that is all we can see is our suffering and our clinging. You know, or just we can see just our suffering and our pain. You know, so we're learning to get some space from our suffering and pain. So that A, we can develop wisdom into it and why it is that we're suffering and what it is that we're doing and how we can come to the end of what we're doing, and we can develop an understanding, you know, a deeper wisdom of the heart and the qualities of compassion and love and joy, and so that we can understand the brightness of the world. Another quote that I always loved was that quote from Camus, who said, "In the middle of winter, I at last discovered that there was in me an invincible summer." In the middle of winter, I at last discovered that there was in me an invincible summer. It came at a time in his life when he was really experiencing great despair, and he had this breakthrough, you know. In our practice, our practice asks that we see the brightness in the world. You know, this is what it means to be a Dharma student. We're able to take a step back and have a wider view of things and see and understand and recognize the brightness in the world. I always like to say, in terms of practicality, there's different ways that you can reflect. And sometimes you can reflect on the cushion in meditation, and sometimes it's during the course of the day at moments that are opportune. Nature, of course, is, you know, the Buddha said that's the easiest way to brighten the mind, the easiest way to understand the blessing of this life. And a lot of us live in the city, but, you know, we can still go for a walk or go to the park and recognize the goodness and be able to stay connected to the goodness in life. I like to talk about three kinds of reflection. One sort of a general reflection, which could be something along the lines of, you know, there is, you know, this life is such a blessing. You know, it's such a blessing to have this opportunity to be alive. This is such a precious and rare and extraordinary gift. So sort of a general blessing, a recognition of the blessing of life. Another way to reflect would be the blessing of the day. The blessing of this day, this 24 hours that we have to live. I mean, these are classical ways of reflecting, that I have this 24 hours, and this 24 hours is a gift, is a blessing. Look to this day, the Buddha said. Look to this day. Everything that you need is right here in this day. Tomorrow, we don't know. You know, and something that we're asked to do, of course, is to recognize the blessing of each day. You know, I mean, so much of my life I lived, you know, tomorrow, next month, when the pandemic is over, then I'll be happy, right? And dare I say, you know, if there's if things change politically, I'll be happy. You know, we may not make it until Tuesday, you know? That's not guaranteed. We have today. We have today. Look to this day. Find the joy in life today. Tomorrow, we don't know. We don't know. And we can find the joy in life and the preciousness and understand the preciousness of life today. And then, of course, in the most simple way, this moment. You know, this moment. You know, I'm struggling in this moment. Can I see that? Can I recognize my struggle and my anxiety and my fear and my despair and take a step back from that and have compassion for myself and begin to notice in this moment that, you know, this moment is, you know, this moment, I'm right here, I'm in a state of grace. You know, this moment is blessed. This moment is a gift. This moment is an extraordinary blessing. So we reflect, we pay attention, and we see the brightness in the world. We understand the brightness of the world. You know, when we learn to see the goodness in life, the brightness of the world, then we begin to know the joy of living, of just being alive, and we live accordingly. We live joyfully. We live joyfully. You know, it's hard to recognize the blessing. You know, it's hard to live joyfully if we don't recognize the joy that's inherent in life. You know, but when we learn to see the goodness in life and know the joy of being alive, then we're able to live accordingly and live joyfully. And that's our task as Dharma students, is to live joyfully, even when things are difficult. Even when things are difficult, we're happy warriors. Even when the practice is difficult, we take joy in that. Even when our days are difficult, we take joy in being alive and making the effort to do what has to be done to know happiness in this life. You know, when we learn to see the goodness in the life, you know, then our days are informed by that understanding of the extraordinariness of life, the grace that's inherent in each moment. You know, we're able to live in accord with this grace. You know, we're awakened to the goodness in life. You know, this is what it means to be awake, to be awakened. You know, we're awakened to the goodness in life. You know, typically we're just so caught up in things that, you know, in the end don't really mean so much, you know, all the different sense pleasures, you know, all the things on the phone and on the television. We're so caught up in this stuff and all the possessions and all the different vicissitudes of life that we're striving after, you know, the getting and the being. You know, we're so caught up in all of those things, you know, that we miss out on and we don't pay attention to and understand and just see the inherent goodness in life, in being alive. So, you know, this is our message to you, you know, as we like to sometimes say at the end of our Dharma talks, you know, this is our message to you. You know, we practice the Dharma, we develop concentration and present moment awareness so that we can be here in the moment. We cultivate discernment and awareness of our suffering and our clinging, you know, so that we can know the joy of living, so that we can, as Ajahn Fuwang said about Ajahn Lee, so that we can know the brightness of the world and the goodness in this life.